Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
As I said, we are talking to Pastor Thandanani Sabasazi. She is on the line with us. I've been saying him. It's a she. Please forgive me, Pastor Thandanani. Welcome to the show. Greetings to you.
Hello, thank you so much. Yes, you are forgiven.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, we are talking about utilizing technology for youth ministry, isn't it?
Right.
Now, let's start with this question then. Given the rise of AI, what is your take on it, and how can it be utilized effectively in youth ministry? AI is everywhere. People who are doing their thesis are checked so thoroughly these days because they can just utilize AI and lie to lecturers, you know. Imagine the ministry.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it was designed for young people to be lying to lecturers.
Yeah.
But that is, of course, one of the downsides. Let me first just greet all of your listeners, and especially the body of Christ as a whole, and of course the people of the Apostolic Faith Mission and the empowered young people. So I just want to say that AI is actually designed, in fact, anything in technology is designed to make things better for us.
Mm.
But obviously, as you explore what makes things better looks like, you also need to be vigilant about integrity and keeping integrity while utilizing these platforms. So we know that one of the first things you think about when you think about AI, you think about people making these reels where there's like a little baby who's speaking, walking on a hospital floor saying he wants to go back. You think about these sketches, these comedic sketches that people have where it looks like they are real life people and a voice behind them.
Yeah.
So we think about that, but also what's interesting about the question on the utilization of AI for youth ministry is that what AI does for us is that it helps youth ministries become more creative in their approach of the digital platform. So in other words, it's important for our listeners to know that you are able to leverage to leverage on the rise of artificial intelligence. You can use it for task management. You can use it for creativity. Like I said, AI is as simple as I bring it closer to home. It helps young people to create a poster, for instance. You write on an AI tool, create a poster for a conference, create a poster for a workshop, and AI imagines what that would look like. And the benefit of that is that it can look clean and beautiful, can look like it was really designed professionally. So there are tools like that. AI can help you create reels being the short videos that we use mostly to share on our platforms about the things we do in our churches. And knowing that young people spend most of their time on these digital spaces, AI can help youth leaders draw young people to the culture and the life of their churches. So it's actually a more of an opportunity than it is to the detriment of the youth ministry. But also the only thing is, like I said, integrity plays a huge part of that. So you can't, you know, ask AI for a message that you will minister to young people. AI will definitely give you the message. But then you also need to ask yourself, where do you close up your quiet time where the Lord is the one who reveals the message to you? You spend time in prayer. I mean, you were just speaking about prayerlessness a moment ago. So at what point do you allow the Lord to reveal his word to you? Mm. So there are those gaps. And like you mentioned, even as students, you know, we know plagiarism is a crime.
Mm.
And we also know that lecturers now are at an advantage where they don't just detect plagiarism in terms of the written resources that you have put together that belong to someone else, but they are also using softwares now that pick up AI-generated assignment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a give and a take, but like I said, as children of God, it's a conversation about integrity.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Now, let me bring another question. And just after this message, let me bring another question so that we stay afloat on this. It is interesting because much of the young people are in one way or another using AI, whether they would admit or not. The very fact that you have a gadget on your hands, it's AI. And so we will be looking into the advice that could be given to youth ministry for effective online engagement and content creation after this.
Right. So, this is an exciting topic. You know, one of the scriptures that I'm encouraged with is a scripture where the Bible tells us that Jesus appears to Peter and the others, and they were fishing all night and they caught nothing, and he teaches them while he sits on the boat, and he sends them back out and he says to them, cast your net deeper.
Mm.
So ultimately what I'm trying to say about this is there is a harvest in the digital space.
Yeah.
There is the laws exist in that space. So that is one of the things that we need to know as young people in the ministry, to say, number one, what am I trying to achieve? If you want to use this digital platform for reaching the lost, then it is possible to do so. If you want to use it for a follow base, then the question is, after people follow you, do they meet Jesus along the way? So it's important to say, how do you convert your followers into followers of Jesus Christ and not just your personal followers?
Mm.
And so in that, let me break it down again. I spoke about, you know, using it for the creative aspects of your ministry. But also when I speak about casting your networks deeper, one of the other practical tools is to use adverts on the socials in order to draw and attract people to the life and the culture of your church.
Mm.
Remember, there are many misconceptions about church out there. And unlike on-screen media where on television or on the radio, where as much as this platform we are on right now is effective, we also know that the challenge with it is that it is not always likely that people will select a channel or will select a frequency voluntarily to listen to. Maybe they may stumble along it as they browse, which is what we pray for. But you find that when you have paid adverts for either your conference, your youth service, your youth hike, all of the activities that you have in the church, that you, when you pay an advert for it, it automatically appears even for people who are most unlikely to have those kind of ads appear on their faces. So what you do with that is that, yes, someone may see the ad and decide not to pursue it, but you are invading. You are invading. So what you're doing is you are literally pitching up a speaker and a microphone at a corner, on a street corner, on somebody's social media, in the middle of their TikTok video. Your youth having a good time at a hike pops up. Your youth at an all-night prayer happens. Your youth at an outreach where they are making a difference pops up on their feed. And then all of a sudden, they're like, okay, that is interesting. They may like, they may not like, but you have already infiltrated a piece of their space and screen time, and they're able to say, oh, okay, that looks interesting. Let me see more. And to substantiate this, is we have had a number of young people come. In fact, we have a young person who is a member of our church right now.
Mm.
Her name is Kumzile. Shout out, Kumzile. She basically said to us that she saw our church on TikTok.
Yeah,
she
man.
Actually saw our church on TikTok, and other people before the TikTok, other people would say, I googled the church and I found it on an address. So that also tells us the simplicity of having contact details of the church, the name of the church, a telephone number for people to call if they are interested. So it's not always the advanced understanding of technology, it's also the basics, and making sure that the basics are there online if people are looking for a home.
Hmm. Now, you said, another one said, we saw a church or your church on TikTok. Now, the thing is,
right.
Who actually posts? Is it young people who have been well-versed? Have you trained them already in your ministry to say, look, you must have these accounts and be able to post what is going on? Who has a permission to do that?
Thank you. That's an excellent question. So, very quickly, a scripture reference to the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that when David had to go fight Goliath, he couldn't use the armor of Saul. Really, he couldn't. The Bible says he had his own pouch in his pocket that he used, that had the stones that he needed to fight the enemy. Yeah. In other words, I'm saying that every church needs to invest in young people who have had these pouches in their hands, who have the stone in their hands, who are skilled with it, who know how to utilize it for the kingdom. So with that, shout out to every media team in every church out there. So a church needs to establish a media team, right? And a media team can literally start from as small as one person. They can literally be made out of one person who basically, just as we know that Saul had to give David permission to go out and face the giant, even though he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to do it. So what I'm saying is, just as a pastor, a leader in the church, will pray and send forth the worship team, or the leaders of the women, or the leaders of the men, or the leaders of the youth, there needs to be a media team in the church who are laid hands on, who are declared that these ones are the evangelists in the digital age, who will use the message in this church and send it out to the uttermost parts of the earth. So when you do that, you commission young people. You don't just look at them as young people who can use a phone. You look at them declaring that by the Holy Spirit inside of them, the creativity, the excellence that they will invest in making sure the word of God is shared in a creative way, that is going to be seen by all. So in other words, yes, you have a team. You make sure in the beginning you might not have your resources to get them started, but if they just have a good phone that takes good photos and just a stand, even phones that don't have names, right, they can also take quality photos and videos, and they can be enhanced with AI. That's the job of AI. AI can make your visuals look like they are HD, depending on if you know where the tools are. And then, yes, you're absolutely right. Empower the team. So take the team to a place where it's working, you know, sharing best practices. Take them to the church next door, or allow them to do research and Google and follow churches that do something similar to what you want to achieve. And then as they get exposed, you also help them to subscribe to certain platforms. I don't want to advertise people who have been paid for advertising, but there are certain platforms they can use that help them to stream, that help them to share different things, like your offering account on the social, like to prepare beautiful slides for your sermon and have the lyrics of the songs. There's so many things, but all I'm saying is you need to commission the team. It can't just be a default. You can't just say, oh, these young people are here and they like doing this. You need to make sure they know they are part of those who are going into the field and preaching the gospel. So training, resources, and commissioning.
Now, with that, there are those who would put their opinions, and sometimes maybe their opinions would not be going in line with what you would be standing for. How would you deal with that? And someone would say, okay, I was in church, and this is what they said, and there is the brand of the ministry. And their interpretation is actually not necessarily what was being said, but it's just their critique. Right. How do you deal with that?
Right, Jerry. If we're honest with that one, it's always been there. You know, there's always this thing of umzalwane ohambile ngoba bekakhubekile. That always existed. The difference now is, of course, you need to understand that now you are Jesus ministering the Sermon on the Mount. You have a crowd and a magnitude in front of you. That means that you need to continue to preach a sound gospel, which what we have spoken is the Bible says, Paul says, when I came to you, I chose to know nothing else but Christ and Him crucified. What does that mean? It means that now when you understand your audience and you understand that you are not just within your four walls, how do you become like Paul, eliminating a lot of your commentary or your opinions on certain things and focusing on Christ and Him crucified. So there's a discipline there as well, right? Of saying, I'm not going to stand here and ridicule maybe people of other faiths. I'm not saying you are saying certain things that are happening out there are good, but you need to now be aware that you've got a broader audience, and you need to also have the discipline to say at the end of the day, did they catch the message of Christ and Him crucified, or did they catch everything else that I said on the sidelines? So there's a discipline involved. And if you feel that, if you feel that perhaps you are being limited, so some people feel if I go online, I become limited. I just feel that it actually challenges you to say some of the deeper teachings that don't need a Sunday service, that they will need you to then have a focus on a small group or a smaller group teaching or a cell group or a life group, whatever they are called in the churches, or you delegate some of them into the ministries or the departments. Abo Baba will talk about things that are focused on them, Abo Mama, and you take the meat and you reserve it for other spaces that are important for that kind of teaching that will need more than the Sunday service.
Now,
so you can't do much, and the people will comment, the people will talk. Like I said, it's always been like that, and it's about assessing what has been said, has it been misinterpreted, can it be rectified, but you cannot always entertain every single comment that comes your way.
I hear you. Now, let us hit two birds with one stone, and when you look into the aspect of, I'm going back to the first question and I'm mixing it with the fourth now. Starting with the fourth, what would you say are the limits that need to be put in place with regards to the use of social media and a take on social media addiction? And then question one, technology can be challenging, a challenging terrain to navigate, especially for Christian youth. What's your advice on young people that they don't fall victim to scams, addictions, and also the effective use of social media with discipline and limits needed? What would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the challenges that we find is what I call the comment section. I think the comment section is a huge challenge for us. And 2 Timothy 2:13-16 says, keep reminding God's people of these things, warn them before God against quarreling about words that have no value. And he says that, and they only ruin those who listen. So it says, avoid godless chatter, because those who dialed in it will become more and more ungodly. So ultimately, that, I mean, there's so many layers to what you've asked, but the first is to ask a question. As we sit in these comment sections and it becomes a habit for us to sit and read comments, are you engaging in godless chatter? Are you consuming godless chatter? In the preface that it is entertainment. You know, something we mask them as entertainment, but they are not good for the soul.
Yeah.
And I think one of the important things is that the Bible also says where your treasure is, that's where your heart is, right? Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. So it's also important to ask the question with those who spend time on their phone. 4 hours will pass, you haven't eaten. 6 hours, you have not been productive. Is that not the nature of a thief who comes to steal your time? Is that not like the proverb that says a little slumber, a little folding of hands, right? And poverty strikes you. So it means, again, you need to discern. Am I spending too much time on my socials? Am I getting to a place where it's actually becoming a form of worship? It sounds like it's deep when you say it like that, but if we are honest, if you weigh your prayer life, your Bible time, your social interaction, like as in real social interaction, not the virtual one, how do you measure that? And that's how you will recognize whether or not you have a problem. And so it's important to identify, do I have a problem? What is addiction? Addiction is something that you realize you cannot stay without. It is engrafted in your system. It is as though you become uncomfortable without doing it. So whether it is substances or anything like that, if you cannot survive without opening your phone and opening something on the socials, you need to ask yourself how far you are in. And this is not just for young people, by the way. We have an older generation who is trapped by TikTok. And the joke I like making is that maybe we need to call a TikTok alto call among our mothers and our fathers. Because it's there. And also in terms of scams, because artificial intelligence is designed to help us, guess what? It's also designed to help the thieves and the robbers and those who are scammers to make the things they send to us look legitimate. So you need to be able to be vigilant. You need to be able to check. If there's a job post, for example, somewhere, and there's a phone number, make a call and find out if this place exists before you send the so-called email. And obviously, you look at things like, is this a Gmail account? You look at the spelling on the advert. You look at whether or not the advert has a surname. It will randomly say, send your CV to John. John who? You know, so it's important for you to see those things. And also, obviously, aspects around looking at things like, if the job post says, no qualification needed, no experience needed. I mean, if it smells like a rag, chances are it happens.
Yeah.
And maybe on the more personal one, as maybe I try to conclude this one, it's so broad, it needs like a workshop. But what I can say is also young people must not be trusting on the social. So never mind the job post, right? We have a lot of people who are human trafficked because of trusting on socials. You have girls who become raped because they went to some kind of modeling audition. And when they got there, it was just predators. So it's important to say, if somebody is jumping on your messenger or your DM, run away from those people. You don't know who this person is. Some people can come and say, can you teach me English? I'm from another country. We're now from all the Google videos where you can learn English. You are just deciding now that you are going to ask me on my messenger to help you with English. So there are small things, Ray, that people need really to be vigilant about. Don't send people your personal information. Don't send photos of yourself to people. We also see that people clone accounts. And they've shown accounts because we don't have privacy settings. So they will take Padanani's photo, my husband, my children, and create a brand new account using the same photos that I have not set on privacy settings. And they will create a clone.
So, now, because of time, that's why I made that back-to-back. So, and of course, now, when we look into how can Christians expand their reach on these platforms, and also should they be involved in trends, what would you say? We left with 3 minutes. How can you go about that?
We can be involved in trends depending on what we want to trend. What do we want to trend? We want the gospel to trend, then let's go for it. So it depends. If we are making a sermon trend, we can go for it. If we are making a reel about something incredible that I said at a conference, if we are trending for advocacy work as we raise awareness on different things on human rights, then let it trend. But we must be careful of not making things that paint a bad light to the church trend with a mask of humor. We must be very careful, because what we do as Abazalwane, we are the ones who cause the information to trend. If somebody was made to eat snakes, we are going to share it. It will trend on our watch. If somebody fell on a pulpit or a worshiper did something, grabbed a mic from another one, hello, my five, I'm here. We are the ones who are going to make a trend. And what we don't realize is the only reason why it's becoming famous is because we are making it famous. So we really have to ask ourselves a question, do I want something like this to make its way to the world out there because of me? And so we just have to be careful with that. What do we make trend? Because the Bible says that the Samaritan woman went to the city and she said, I met a man who told me everything about me. And then they came to Jesus. In other words, we are involved in gossip, but we can't see because it's called trend. It's called trendy. But
these are even things, right? Sure, I hear you quite well. And of course, what a time. What a time to have spoken to you, especially as we enter the festive seasons, man. People are not studying. They'll be, you know, on the trends. You know, they'll be on the trends. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, no, let's make Jesus trend. Let's make the birth of Jesus Christ, the birth of the promise trend. Let's not make Santa trend. It's fine. It's colorful, but let's remember the reason for the season and let us be vigilant. I really appreciate this episode and the session that you've given us. Appreciate the opportunity to say, let us leverage, let us cast our nets deeper. There's a harvest on the socials.
Absolutely.
But you need a group that will commission to be in charge of this and that will send the gospel beyond the four walls.
Pastor Thandanani, I appreciate you and thank you so much for the time. Thank you for your patience and thank you for forgiving my blunder. That's the email I got. It labels you
thank
in a...
Thank you so much, Neb.
And I appreciate.
Thank you. Have an awesome evening further. We really appreciate it. As the AFM, we appreciate the slot. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good night. Thank you so much.
Okay, then.
All right,
bless
then.
You.
Bye. And of course, that was Pastor Thandanani. Hey, man, what a conversation we have had. It was just wonderful. It was just beautiful. And I enjoyed it so much. You know, there's a song I used to play some time ago that says, here's my heart, just a bit, you know, and to recognize Pastor Thandanani. Here's my heart out of Eden.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, true, authentic Christian radio.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Oh, now thank you so much. It's been great. It's been wonderful. And from me, Ray... blessings to you, grace abundant. May the favor of the Father be upon you. Let's give him all the glory.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter and download our podcasts today.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith and love on 657 AM. You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.